Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Jordan Hamm filling in for the big guy on this busy Wednesday morning, National Signing Day. We are drawing closer to spring training, and the trade deadline in the NBA is just about 24 hours away. So a lot of interesting things going on. Let's just jump right on into it. With our rundown brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. So on this National Signing Day, the second one, this is the second year where there's an early signing day in December, and then the usual February one. In the early one, we've seen 75-80% of the commits sign. So it's a much busier time of year than it once was. I was actually talking to Chris Cartman of Sun Devil Source, the 24/7 Sports ASU site, and he mentioned, I might go to the Phoenix Open for the first time in I don't know how many years, because usually it's for us recruiting guys, it's a pretty hectic time of year. But with the early signing day, things have really calmed down. So in that respect, ASU, U of A is going to be a pretty quiet day. They've filled most of their class already from what I've read. U of A, they're going to go mostly grad transfers to try to kind of fill out the rest of their class a little bit. ASU in on a couple of guys. Right now, it's looking like they could get maybe one of the two. Steven Linton is a defensive end linebacker from Dublin, Georgia, 6'5", 195, a three-star recruit. But based on what I've been reading, it seems like it might be Syracuse that gets him. It's a tough sell for a lot of these linebacker commits, recruits, I should say. When you have three sophomores at the linebacker position, kind of cementing themselves in the starting lineup the next couple of years, that's obviously tough to get on the field in Herm Edwards and Danny Gonzalez's new defense. So it's going to be tough to kind of recruit those types of linebackers. But Jordan Wilmore is a running back, four-star running back, an 89 rating, fourth best all-purpose back, 45th best player in California right now. It is down to Utah, USC, and ASU. Most of the experts, the guys that I trust, the Brandon Huffmans, the Greg Biggins, the Chris Cartmans, especially when it comes to ASU, all picking ASU. So his commitment will happen later today. So we'll see if there is a bit of depth behind Eno Benjamin. A 5'8", 200-pound running back from Lawndale, California. Similarly built to Eno Benjamin. Eno is listed at 5'10", about 205. So that's kind of what's going on the college front. On the high school front, like I said, most of these guys have already signed, especially the big names. Some of the remaining names, Kyle Patterson, the tight end for Perry. He was getting looks from Alabama, had an offer. His finalist, Alabama, Washington, Air Force. He chose Air Force over the two teams that are usually, perennial college football playoff teams. And I was able to sit down with him earlier this week. He trusted me with that information before revealing it himself. But the one thing he said was just what the Air Force can offer you off the field when he's done. And it's a 40-year decision, not a four-year decision. Have to respect that. That is a great move, and the Air Force has changed their guidelines in the way that they do things. They are now able to go to the NFL should things go very right for Kyle Patterson over the next couple of years. But he was one of the big names. Matthew Polamau, you may remember his brother Isaiah Polamau. Isaiah is over at USC. Matthew made his commitment to Kansas State this morning. Defensive tackle can really just clog up the lanes pretty well. So that's another big one. And then Des Melton, the athlete over at Deer Valley, he can do a little bit of everything. Was a running back, was a wide receiver in his high school career. He pledges to Louisville. So obviously busy time of year with the recruiting stuff. 2020 is going to be huge for the state of Arizona. This is going to be one of the best classes, and a lot of guys are going to be going to some big-time programs. So excited to see what's going on with that. On the Suns front, no news on the Lonzo Ball potentially to the Suns as a part of that three-team deal with the Pelicans for Anthony Davis. As of right now, the Lakers have stepped away from the negotiations because it sounded like the Pelicans wanted just pie in the sky offers, and that just wasn't really going to happen. In other trade news, the Clippers and the Sixers have traded made a trade. Tobias Harris, Boban, Mike Scott for Landry Shamet, Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, a 2020 first rounder, a 2020 unprotected first rounder via Miami. That is from the Sixers, and two second rounders. That was the pick that the Suns gave up for Mikal Bridges. That was one that the Suns got heavy criticism for dealing because it was an unprotected pick. Look, we're still a few years away from knowing if that's going to be a big, a good pick, a high pick. Right now, Miami is kind of in that purgatory in the NBA where they're pretty good but not good enough, and they have some huge contracts they need to get rid of. So do they take it down to the studs and, you know, completely rebuild, and then all of a sudden that pick becomes very valuable? Or are they the usual Miami Heat where they're anywhere from a 3 seed to an 8 seed in the postseason, but they're going to make the postseason. They're going to, that pick is going to end up being a top, bottom 18 pick of the first round. Is that what's going to happen? I don't know. But I know it's not drawing the same amount of criticism being dealt from the Sixers to the Clippers because it wasn't the Suns dealing it. That's kind of the reputation right now the Suns are having, where any move, where they move any sort of asset, everyone's just kind of expecting the cartoon coyote to come out with the dynamite and everything blow up in their face. That's kind of where they're at. Now, an interesting observation that Brad Sussmat made in his 3-dot thoughts on our site regarding Lonzo Ball was all of a sudden there's a big name player. I don't know if we can call him a big time player yet. He's in his second year. He's obviously a nice player. There's a reason he's the second overall pick in that draft ahead of Josh Jackson. But he wants to come here. His dad made it very vocal on the radio waves here in Phoenix yesterday that they want to come here. When's the last time that happened? Anybody of worth, basketball-wise, wanted to come to Phoenix? Because right now, what they've been able to bring in are the Tyson Chandlers and the Ryan Andersons and the Trevor Ariza's, and overpaying for Trevor Ariza. And they're, I'm sure, good people, but the, basketball-wise, there's a lot left to be desired. Lonzo Ball could grow into a pretty darn good point guard, especially when he shares that backcourt with Devin Booker. Devin Booker, the big-time scorer, not the best defender, but a playmaker, and I believe a future top 10 player here in the league. And for the Suns, should he stay happy, you pair Lonzo Ball, who doesn't have the best shot, but can distribute, can defend. That's the two things that the Suns need right now. I've said it. I said it last week. I probably said it the week before. In positionless basketball, you still need distributors. The Suns don't really have distributors right now, and you need guys that can defend. Lonzo Ball can do that. Now, I don't think a straight-up deal between the Lakers and the Suns is going to happen. I think you need the Pelicans to come to the table and say, all right, let's do this thing. So that's what we're going to have to look at over the next 24-ish hours. But if the Suns can do that, short of giving up some of their, Mikal Bridges, varying protections on that first-round pick, Devin Booker, that sort of thing, I think you have to go all in for a point guard. And I know James Jones has said we're not going to make a move out of desperation. I think it's now time to make a move out of desperation, or some sense of urgency at least, because the moves you're making right now, or not making, I think can hurt Devin Booker, and thus Devin Booker, who just signed that big extension. That big extension is kind of useless when he says, I want to be traded and I don't want to be here anymore. And that's happened before with Phoenix. That's happening with Jimmy Butler. That's happening with Anthony Davis. Really good players now realize their control in the league, which they have. So you need to keep Devin Booker happy. And the 14 wings that are on the roster with him, I'm sure he likes them and he likes the length that they bring, but he needs a point guard. So please go out and get him a point guard. Suns fans are pleading. So just a lot going on here, obviously, in the state on a busy, busy day. Coming up next, we have Michael Lev of the Arizona Daily Star. He has some good insight on what's going on with U of A, both on the basketball front and on the football front. Brad Sesmat is joined by him coming up next.
Let's turn our attention now to a term that has popped up in the last 6 months. And a lot of fans have asked me about this. What's the transfer portal all about, Brad? It's really changing the game of college football. Michael Lev is with us from the Arizona Daily Star, U of A Wildcat insider. He wrote a really good take on this, I thought, over the weekend, to walk people through how it's now in space where a college player does not need permission from their current school for their desire to transfer out. And we're seeing mass exodus now of college players. Arizona State lost four just this weekend of guys that are in their primarily senior going into fifth year type of spaces, but others as well. So I want to have Michael to come on and talk about transfer portal. When did you first start seeing this, Mike, in terms of this is going to become something in the space of college football, and in particular for the U of A and ASU?
Right. Well, I mean, I heard about it late last year, and it actually went into effect in October, but it doesn't seem like it really took off until this past season ended, you know, and then you just seem like you heard every single day, like, somebody's entering the transfer portal, another player is going into the transfer portal. And it really kind of took on a life of its own. It's obviously kind of a funny, science fiction-y type of name that really has caused a lot of jokes on Twitter and that sort of thing. But, you know, it is actually having a huge and real impact on the sport of college football especially, and it actually applies to every sport. Anyone can quote-unquote enter it, but it's created with essentially free agency.
Right.
In college football, it's given players or student athletes much more freedom than they've ever had before.
So I'm curious, are there outside influences that will tell a kid, you're not being respected enough by a coach, coach leaves, you're not playing enough, they just got in a transfer, you need to get out of there? And most of these kids don't know what they're getting into, or is it, as you put it so well, it's just free agency. It's just, it's time for me to take my talents elsewhere. Not that I like that, but that seems what it's about.
I think it's probably a combination of the two. I mean, I think those conversations and those influences always have existed. The difference now is that it's just much easier to initiate that process. You know, before you had to, as you mentioned at the top, you had to ask permission from your current school, and there were just a lot more red tape to navigate. Now, all you have to do is say, "I want to do this." You take the request to compliance. You know, they're obligated to honor your request to transfer. You fill out some paperwork within 48 hours. It has to be done, and then boom, your name is in the portal. What's interesting to me is that it doesn't necessarily 100% mean that you're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of like an opportunity to explore your options. But once you put your name in there, I mean, it's kind of like putting your cards, turning your cards over on the table, right? Like, everyone knows at that point that you're unhappy in some form or fashion, and your current school is not obligated to renew your scholarship once the current academic term is up. So even though it's not like a guarantee that you're going to leave, it pretty much does mean that you're going to leave.
Yeah, people may not be aware, and it's a good point you bring up, that just because you get a scholarship and you get your full ride, it's renewable every year. There's no guarantee. So the minute that you put your name in that portal, can coaches access that portal, is it only players? Fans can't access that portal. Who can access that portal?
Oh, yeah, coaches definitely can. Coaches, administrators, I mean, it's basically available to the schools and the players. And, you know, one of the guys that I interviewed for that story that you referenced, Antonio Parks, said that he had about 10 different schools contact him after his name popped in there. So it's sort of like, in a way, it's kind of like being recruited all over. which was, you know, we've had this phenomenon available to players through the grad transfer process, which was pretty clean and easy. And once you graduated, you know, you're free to go to any other school. You'd have immediate eligibility. This opens it up to not only the grad transfers, but anyone who wants to transfer. And I think another point that's kind of important to note for your audience is just because you're in the transfer portal, that doesn't mean you're eligible to play next season. You're still subject to regular NCAA transfer rules unless there's some sort of special circumstance, and you can file a waiver claim with the NCAA, and then they'll deal with each case on an individual basis.
Talk with Michael Lev, Arizona Daily, Star U of A, Wildcat insider on the transfer portal. How has this impacted what Kevin Sumlin is trying to do at U of A?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there would have been roster turnover this offseason, whether there was a portal or not. I think that's just natural whenever you have a coaching change. And, you know, when he came in here, you know, there wasn't a lot, if any, of that kind of talk to the extent of, I'm just looking to get my players in here. I can't wait to get my players. He was, from day one, he was like, these are the guys I have. These are the guys I'm going to ride with. Now that we've gotten into the off season between year one and year two, you know, obviously there have been some meetings between coaches and players, some discussions about sort of what's the best for your future. And some guys have decided or have been nudged in the direction of, you know, pursuing other options. And I think the difference between, you know, the pre-portal days and what we have now is that it's just more public than it was before.
What about a quarterback for U of A? Because you've linked a quarterback at Texas A&M to U of A in terms of interest in transfer portal. Does this go both ways at the quarterback position?
Of course. I mean, as I pointed out, and this unfortunately was like only one sentence out of like 1,500 words in that story. But any of the schools who are, you know, quote unquote losing players can also benefit from this system. They have access to it. They can reach out to players and try to bring guys in. You know, the quarterback you're referencing is Nick Starkel, who was, you know, the QB for a season plus or so. Under Kevin Sumlin and Noel Mazzoni at Texas A&M. He began the 2017 season as the starter, and then he got hurt, and Kellen Mond took over and really kind of took off with the job there at A&M. Starkel has put himself out there now as a grad transfer. He listed Arizona as one of the schools he had, quote-unquote, early interest in for obvious reasons because of his connection with the coaching staff. I'm not sure it makes sense for him to come here because, you know, he does not have a clear path to a starting position with Khalil Tate set to return to the Wildcats in 2019. Obviously, it would be really beneficial for Arizona to have him because you'd have a lot more experience in that quarterback room. You'd have a viable backup option if something were to happen to Khalil, someone who's familiar with the system. It wouldn't take him very long to get up to speed. But, you know, most of the time with grad transfer quarterbacks, they are looking for a place where they can start immediately and relaunch their careers right away. And I'm not sure Arizona fits that description.
Yeah, but on Khalil Tate's end, Mike, if you look at this, is this a shot towards Khalil Tate or a wake-up to Khalil Tate that there's even interest from a player putting his name in the transfer portal? A guy like Khalil Tate could look at this and say, is there somebody telling him, hey, come out here because we're not all that enamored with what's going on with Khalil, or am I merely overthinking this?
I think it might be a little bit of overthinking.
Yeah.
But it's fun speculation, though, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing quite like the quarterback position in football. It's the one that we talk about the most, the one that gets scrutinized the most. I mean, there were a lot of theories down here when Jalen Hurts put his name out there that he was going to transfer.
Right. That's a good point.
That he was going to end up coming to Arizona and that, you know, Khalil Tate was going to transfer somewhere else. But it's just easier said than done when it comes to Khalil because he's not set to graduate by the end of spring. His graduation date is sometime in summer, which I think would enable him to become a grad transfer if he wanted to go that route, but he wouldn't have as much time to get up to speed whatever offensive systems he needed to learn. And that's a very big deal. You know, I mean, there are a couple places, theoretically, that he could go where he would know the offensive system already. You know, his ex-offensive coordinator, Rod Smith, is at Illinois. Former head coach Rich Rodriguez is at Ole Miss. So theoretically, you know, those would be landing spots. But the indications I'm getting from within the program are pretty clear that, you know, this is the best option for Khalil, and it's also the best case scenario for Arizona, which gets a productive and veteran quarterback back in the fold and doesn't have to rush any of its young quarterbacks onto the field.
Good stuff on this front, Michael. Appreciate the visit. Thanks.
Of course. Thank you.
Michael Lev there, Arizona Daily Star. Yeah, transfer portal is becoming just commonplace. This kid's going to enter his name. If you're Herm Edwards, if you're Kevin Sumlin, I don't know if it's the best situation because 19, 20, 21-year-olds, giving them the option of opting out and going and chasing their own dream, you could have free agency every year. Arizona State lost a whole bunch of players over the weekend, and it throws the system into chaos, I think. Couples of the Super Bowl commercials I really liked. We'll get to those. Some final thoughts on a busy Monday. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat.